Hello and welcome back to the Riverside City Podcast. We've got a special episode for everybody. I have with me Art, who's playing our newest Cape. Art, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yep, I'm Art. I play Dylan Zale, also referred to as Samurai Crab.
Samurai Crab. No, I can't not say it that way.
So I've been a Cape for a couple of years.
Hey, this is about you first. We do character after. Let's get the back on.
Well, let's see.
I've been a superhero for several years.
Me personally, I've probably been playing D&D longer than most of the people in this room right now.
Have been alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than 30 years?
Yeah.
Then yeah, longer than we've been alive.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I actually started playing in middle school, so sixth grade, which would have been 1977. I was introduced to D&D by my sister, who handed me her little white box of D&D books.
Yeah, that's what my dad started with.
Yeah.
But he was in high school, because I think he's 7 years older than you, if I can do the math.
Yeah, and then I really didn't get involved with it until just a little bit after the AD&D books came out. So, and I still remember my first character, say dwarf fighter with a 6 intelligence and a 12 wisdom, and in his first adventure, found an intelligent sword, and back then the intelligent sword overwhelmed my personality and took over my character. So that was a lot of fun.
My first D&D character was an AD&D ranger. His name was Nerillin, and I will never forget him. He was 1892 strength, but then again, the GM pre-generated our characters, so he probably just said it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But because he's like, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Our next character will be rolled ourselves, but yeah, it was.
It's an interesting. It was, like I said, I had a lot of fun with it.
AD&D was good for its time.
Yep.
There's a reason we're not there anymore.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
but yeah, I've been, you know, I've basically all of my life, I've been playing role-playing games in some form or another. I've played the top secret spy game. That was a good one. My parents said, I don't care what you read as long as you're reading, we'll buy you whatever you want. So I ended up with all the D&D books, and so I ended up being the DM, and I DM'd for years.
I can relate.
After that, game through college, had a Traveler game. Original Traveler.
I always wanted to play Traveler instead of my group, but we could never find someone who felt that they could handle DMing it.
But we played Traveler through college. I had a group that we met once a week through college.
Same characters?
Same characters.
No one died during character gen?
Well, there were a couple of deaths during character gen, but that's always the case with Traveler. And of course, Traveler's with a game that, you know, the party is all middle-aged by the time you actually start adventuring.
Yep. They've already seen some shit.
Yeah. But, yeah, we built those characters up from the starting, getting out of the various forces of armed forces and building a 1,000-ton ship and making a mercenary band. Cool. It was a lot of fun. And then, of course, the DM, we had a puzzle room that we couldn't figure out, and we didn't stop the invasion, and they killed us all. But I should see if I can find my little
booklet.
Well, no, that for my birthday, they actually made a calligraphy scroll.
Cool.
That was the was Will Scarlet's name from Robin Hood. Scathlock.
Okay.
Scathlock?
I
would, I
couldn't
have
tell you.
But yeah.
I could look it up, but
yeah. So basically, it was that was where I got the name from, because I've always enjoyed Robin Hood and all that. Yeah. But and so they made the 120th day of the year was the day of our group, and that was the one we celebrated for. You know, they celebrated us trying to stop the invasion. Cool. So it was, like I said, it was, we played that 4 years.
Okay, so do you have a particular favorite role-playing system besides D&D, or is it
I do have a favorite role-playing system. The problem with it is you got to find the right people who will go beyond just wanting to play the magic users.
Okay.
It's Ars Magica.
Okay.
Have not played it. It is a fabulous system, but the wizards are so overpowered that they take over the whole thing, but the whole system is designed to where you create, you have the group of wizards who form a group, and then you have a, they refer to them as grogs, which are the non-magic user grunts. And then you have, there's a second level, which is what most of the people will play. So you actually create a wizard, a companion, and then like two or three grogs. The grogs are there to die. You know, they're going to sacrifice themselves for the wizards.
Yep.
The companion is along the lines of the wizard in terms of that's the person, you know, whoever is not playing their wizard for a particular adventure plays their companions.
Okay.
So, but it's the magic system itself is based on Latin, and there are 5 techniques and 10 forms. So you combine a technique and a form, and you can
50 potential spells.
Well, you have 50 potential abilities.
Okay.
So you got Creo, which is to create. It's all based on Latin.
Yeah.
And then depending on the levels and things like that, you can actually, you know, craft your own spells, and based on the power level that you can get to with a by die roll will determine how much power you actually get. It's a really good system. It is also very bloody, because as you take, you don't have hit points. You take hits. Every time you take a hit, or you go from one strenuous activity to another strenuous activity, you can either take damage on your body, or you take an exhaustion.
Yeah.
And each one of those has 5 different levels. As you go up in levels, your negatives to your die increase, and kinda it's like, cumulative.
Kind of like Shadowrun did. If you've ever played Shadowrun, you know.
Long time ago,
you've got
yeah.
body and stun, and then the more you take in one, the worse things go. So, if you've got 9 body, 9 stun, full, you're -6 to everything. You just kind of suck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's, but like I said, it's one of those systems that I just love. It, and it's medieval Europe, but then they add the magic onto it. Cool. And it's a great system. I
ran a campaign like that, actually. Set in the 1200s, like that was when I did, and it was very, it got real bloody. Rob, one of the player, he can attest that campaign was brutal. So many people died.
But yeah, like I said, that's my absolute favorite system. But like I said, I've played just about everything.
Anything else in particular that you play regularly or you like to play?
Currently, most of it is D&D.
Yeah. 5e's kind of taken over the world.
It's
bad, but
it is what it is. It's a decent enough system, but I'm back from the time where I like a little bit more gritty of a system, a little bit more mechanical system. Yeah. But
the fact that I miss skill points and how I could really craft how I knew things.
Right.
I miss that quite badly, actually.
Mm-hmm. The other one that I do enjoy also was Champions. So
yeah, which everyone at our table has played Champions at least a little bit. Natalie's the least. I guess Natalie and I technically had the same amount, but I got into it more than she did.
Yeah,
I would love to get it.
I remember I still have all my second edition champion stuff.
Yeah. You guys play Fred now. Fifth Revised Edition, it's known as Fred. I love that so much. I actually was on the forums one time, and the guy, he's like, I'm the guy who coined Fred. And I looked it up, and he's the guy who coined Fred. He was just chatting on the forums. It was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's, like I said, that's the type of system, because, I love getting into doing the nitty-gritty. I'm a chemist by trade, so I do the math and science stuff. So it's one of those that I'll just sit there and I'll just tweak numbers and play and just manipulate it till I get stuff. And it's, you always have to have a good concept.
My favorite thing in Champions is that I'm like, how bad can I break this within the point limit? I got a 45-point limit. Oh, yep. Yeah, I know. Rob is overlaying on the couch behind me, and he's the GM in our Champions game. I'm like, how bad can I break this within the point limit? And then he's like, no, you can't do that. No, you can't have a mega scale teleport that goes 10 kilometers that you do every 2 seconds.
But yeah, so like I said, it's...
No, I'm sorry. It was 10,000 kilometers. That was how the math worked out.
Yeah, currently, right now, I actually do a lot more miniature gaming. Okay. My favorite system right now is Free Blades, put out by DGS. And if you remember Mordheim,
I don't.
Okay. Well, they actually have a campaign system that's part of the system that, as you do various encounters and things like that, you gain experience and you get better skills and things like that. So
yeah, I play a 40K kill teams, and there's a campaign
along those lines, but
a campaign mode where you do level up things and they become lieutenants
I also do their I'm the Chicago area demo person.
Okay.
So
that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. But they actually it's one of the unique systems with that is they have the exploding die system.
Yeah.
So whenever you roll a max on the die, you roll it again, and you keep, as long as you keep rolling whatever the max number is, you keep rolling and adding it up. So
what system was it I was reading that just now they're doing that again?
Because the one that most people are familiar with, and it's very kind of like that, is
Shadowrun does it too.
But it's Deadlands, but it's the generic system that was based.
Dark Sun.
No, it's gonna bother me until I remember.
If I look up exploding dice, the system will come up.
Yeah.
Star Wars. There's the Savage Worlds.
Savage Worlds. That's the one I'm thinking of.
I want to play Savage Worlds.
I actually have those books. If you want to borrow them.
I think I bought the collection of PDFs.
Okay.
But yeah, I want to get a Savage Worlds campaign because it's almost as flexible as Champions.
It is. The one thing about the Savage World, it does really good for a limited campaign. I find short-term campaigns.
I'm not interested.
And like I said, I tried running it as a campaign. The problem with it is it gets to a certain limit, and then you don't feel like your character is building enough. But in terms of, I think the Savage World system is a great for, a 3 or 4 part adventure or something like that.
I actually ran into a similar issue with Shadowrun. Despite the fact that, yes, it's a point-based system, you can grow it forever, at a certain point, it's all incremental gains, and you don't feel like you're getting far enough with what you're doing. I mean, I ran a campaign that ran almost a year, and they were at, like, if you play Shadowrun, like, they were at 85, I think they were at 110 karma, which is, like, way higher than most characters ever make it. Most characters make it to 70 karma, and the game's over.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, 8 or 10 sessions. I got to 110 karma, but at a certain point, they're like, there's nothing we can buy that's better than what we have.
Right.
Besides, like...
And like I said, it's not that it's a bad system, but it just... I found that it had its limits.
I think if I were going to run Shadowrun again, I would have it set up as, like, a 5 or 6... I know they know it's going to be 5 or 6 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And then... new character.
Mm-hmm.
and you make a cool character, and man, you can make it as bloody as you want because it's five or six sessions, and they get a new one. It's just a new guy they pick up.
Mm-hmm.
But what's that's cool. I like it's good to talk about other things, but let's go back to Dylan because you were talking about him earlier.
Yep.
So Dylan Zale, he's mm-hmm. goes by Samurai Crab. He's been in Japan for a while.
Yes.
How long?
He's been in Japan. I wanted to say 5 years,
4 or 5 years,
four or least. 5 years.
Okay.
He actually was a history major studying the development of Bushido. So, and his
which we definitely established later in the campaign, but
yep,
yeah.
But it was, you know, my dad actually is also a history guy mm-hmm. and studying Japan. So I kind of went along with that, but he was the one where I learned,
Kendo
from, and he's the one that started teaching me, you know, and I,
so Kendo is the single blade, but there's a two bladed Japanese style. It's called, it's not Aikido.
No, but
it's similar. There's
several different styles. You know, mm-hmm. Kendo is by far one of the more popular styles because it's the single blade. It's easiest to learn.
He does mostly but he fights two handed.
Yes.
So he does his practice. His katas are like his kendo katas are how he centers himself in the morning. But when mm-hmm. he gets into a fight, he fights like a different style.
Yeah,
almost like kendo is a meditative thing for him.
Right.
Very interesting.
But yeah. So you know, I you know, with the way the ranks of kendo work, you know, I could only get to a certain level, and
you're not old enough.
I'm not old enough. I haven't been, you know, I'm not old enough to get to the next level and all that. So part of my backstory was that I went to Japan to, you know, go to the masters and see if I could get an exception.
And they said no. Did they say no or did they
No, they said yes.
Okay.
So they allowed me to go up one rank.
Which you need to be 30 for.
Right.
So you got like a 5 year jump, which yeah. is big, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But now you got to wait what another 10 years before you. So, yeah, it, so you're like, there's no point.
Right.
15.
Huh?
15.
15 more years. Yeah.
No. I'm saying they got to wait the other five and then the 10.
That's what I'm saying. 15. Yeah.
Yeah. But part of that was also I then wanted to go pay my respects to the Tierra clan and the Emperor Antaku, who were one of the first samurai clans to actually start the Bushido.
Early Bushido, yeah. Okay, so that's very interesting. Where do your powers come from? Because we have not established yep. that yet.
Well, that's part of what I was saying. As part of that, to pay my respects, I went and was going to go to to the Emperor Antaku's final resting spot, which is actually his mother and him jumped overboard after the battle.
That's the nice way of putting it.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Very nice, yes. I'm trying to, you know.
Yeah. Suffice to say, it was a sacrifice.
Sacrifice, yep. Rather than having him be captured by the opponents, she decided to take her life and her son's life, who was like 8 at the time, if I remember right,
mm-hmm.
jumped over and drowned himself, and most of the other samurais that were with him followed suit. So his spirit ended up becoming Mizu no Gami, which is a god of the water.
Yep.
So basically, I fell in and was given a choice to, you know, follow the ways of Bushido and his requirements, or...
And he required that you find and you become a cape.
Yep. So I became a cape.
And so you have a second power. So that's the water power set.
Yep.
So where did you get your second power set?
So all the samurai that jumped over with him were actually then turned into basically crabs, and the crabs in the bay have what look like a scowling samurai face on their shells. So I have the exoskeleton power, which is from the crab exoskeletons.
Cool. So like they're defending the chosen of their kami. Okay. Exactly. That's cool. All right. So how long's okay, let's ask some more questions about Dylan that maybe we haven't already answered. So Dylan's been, how long does he work for the FSA? Or does he work? I spoiled it. He works for the ISA / FSA. Mm-hmm. How long?
It would be shortly after I got out and kind of got my feet under me. I did go and...
So probably 3 or 4 years at least?
Three or four. It's been for the ISA for probably about 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
And then, you know, but I still, my true allegiance is to, the otaku spirit. So the kami.
He seems like he's pretty okay with you working for the ISA / mm-hmm. FSA. You're doing good works.
Yep.
And that's basically all he cares about is people being better than the people who screwed him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The long story very short.
Yep. So, you know, I'm always after, you know, making sure that everybody is, you know, help the innocent, you know, Bushido and chivalry and are similar, but not quite the same.
They're close. A lot of the big points are the same, minus, you know, some like, you can use this guy to sharpen your blade, to test your blade. That's not a technically part of it, but that's not really a thing that you would do in the code of chivalry. But,
right.
But yeah, but, so, is there anything else you want the listeners to know about Dylan that maybe we haven't said yet? Something that I haven't thought to ask because my brain is toast today?
I have a tendency to, you know, based... Selfie. Yeah, I have a... you know, my character has a tendency to, you know, be a little bit quiet, always looking out and making sure people around him are safe before he worries about himself. But
you know what I didn't, you know what we didn't do? We didn't say any of the stats or race / class combination. Usually we did that. So what, so give us the lowdown. Give me some mechanics now. we got the story bits. What are the mechanics?
Okay, so I have a custom lineage.
Okay.
Okay.
What'd you get out of it?
I got... Oh, God. It's...
The power surge feat, right? Or did you take...
The... Well, I got the extra stats, and then I took dark vision.
Okay, yeah.
Because I figured part of the water powers would give me the extra...
Makes total sense. I think it almost should give you dark vision. I'm debating adding that. It's one of down the list. It'd give you a free skill if it
happens. Yeah. So in terms of powers, I have the exoskeleton power and the water power.
But what was your feat at zero, level zero, basically?
Let me pull that up. I'm fairly... I've known about D&D Beyond, but this is the first time I've actually really used it.
It's pretty smooth once you get used to it.
Yeah, it's taking me a little bit of getting used to.
I think I can pull it up pretty quick.
Yeah.
4 or 5 clicks for me. I know exactly where it is.
Yeah, that's my problem is I just...
Percy Games and Connells. I've got it. Dylan, edit. Got it.
Okay.
You picked... Dual wielder,
yeah.
So, which is the Wakizashi and Katana combo,
mm-hmm.
Which is known as the
Daisho.
Thank you, yep. Daisho. Your Daisho, which is the Katana and Wakizashi, and then you picked up. You're a fighter.
Obviously. I'm a fighter. We didn't a talk straight about fighter.
I don't know if we said that or not, but you're a champion.
I'm a champion which makes sense.
The student of war. No. That's I'm surprised you didn't go Samurai Fighter, but I understand why.
I like I said, I looked at the Samurai Fighter. I considered it.
It's not good.
It's not as good, and I actually liked out of the Theros book, the champion, which actually fit better in terms of doing the
good deeds and things like
the
that.
Good deeds and all that, and being a expert in a field of some sort of So that's the way I went with it.
I love it. And then fourth level, you picked up Power Surge, which mm-hmm. got you your exoskeleton power set.
Yep.
And then as of character gen, you do not have your eighth level. No, you came in at eighth level.
Came in at eighth level.
So what was your eighth level feat?
So, and that was something. My eighth level feat was I took the...
ASI.
Yeah. I took the fighting initiative, which I then realized that if I had, I probably should have waited with that because
so you get it at 10th level as a fighter.
Exactly. And I, like I said, it was just because I hadn't looked ahead. So it's, we,
yeah, and I, champion 10th level. Yeah. So we hand wave that later.
Yeah. So basically what that's going to end up turning into is going to be, I'm going to turn that into the second level water power.
Yeah. The power surge.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, what?
Spark boost.
Spark boost.
No, you don't need spark boost. If you already he didn't divert.
Yes, he did.
He took power surge, which added the exoskeleton.
Right.
So, no, you don't need it. Because you don't need spark boost. Cuz you have 2 at 5 now, right? Yeah.
All right. I guess I'll have to go back and
Oh, let's do the math real quick. So first level, you had water. Fourth Correct. Level, you took power surge, which is the feat.
Actually, no, I took...
Okay.
No. So that's where it's...
Got it. Okay. At five, you diverted. So at eight, you're going to take spark boost.
Boost.
To make your water
two. Water two.
Done. Okay.
Because what I wanted to do is I wanted to max out my stats.
Makes sense.
So basically, I have, in terms of stats, I have a 20 dex and a 20 con. So
yeah, that just makes your AC very high.
Yeah.
So, spoiler alert, this is recorded after like I want to say 10 episodes of recording with Art, but it's just getting to know him and things like that, so we're a little more comfortable for this. So things we know more things than we're leading on, like the fact that we kind of dorked the the power sets and things like that, but it's a it's a custom system we slapped on top of 5e, so it's a little it gets together a little dirty, but it's we found
it's an interesting way to do it. It's actually kind of fun.
I tried really hard to say we actually looked at making it as like a subclass, but man, it felt so weak.
Yeah, no, I think the way you have it actually works really well in terms of giving you a feel like you're actually a superhero because you have these extra abilities.
Okay, so fun fact. So this is the longest recap we've had. But then again, also we had 10 episodes and they had a whole episode about their background and you got to do that here. So it actually kind of works out. That was not the fun fact. If you're going to run this system, and I'm going to make the stuff available to do so, I'm going to make the stuff you need to do that available at some point, probably through either Patreon or maybe I might even just drop it on the... Yeah, it's definitely going to be Patreon. And it'll give you the PDF. It'll either be a PDF or some like Sheets files or whatever. It'll be what you need to run it. Don't worry about that. If you're running it, for example, we just recorded an episode where they are ninth level characters. I'm not going to give any spoilers. I had them against two CR6s and two CR5s, and they took that on like a freaking champ with an area trap that was doing 8d6 at the end of every round, and they just kind of tanked through it. The fight before that was a Bone Devil and four Flame Skulls and a 12d6 fire trap that went off every round, and they tanked it. Your characters are significantly more powerful. So I basically throw CR out the window. As long as it says deadly when I go build it in the encounter builder, I'm pretty sure you guys, it'll be fine. Unless it's blinking red deadly, I know I'm not going to accidentally kill you. Though I did do that to them one time, and that was scary. I definitely turned that up way too high, and I regretted it. But then again, if you're writing this, it was the fight with the snipers in the beginning of the campaign. That was a little brutal. The fact that I think I had almost every party member down to a single-digit HP. I mean, they were like level 4, but still. It was that was the toughest fight they've ever had. And I'm trying to get back to that point. I think I this last fight, I got everyone down to like 30 or something. So I did pretty okay there. Well, Art, it was nice getting to know you. And everybody get to know you before they meet you beyond the... We do the first session with you, and then we put it in, I think. Art, it was great, you know, having everybody get to know you a little better so that when you're playing, and honestly, they'll know you better than we do at the beginning of it, besides Mike and Rob, who've known you forever. I think we'll call it here.
Okay.
It's been great. Look forward to having you around the table.
Yep, I've been enjoying it, so I'm looking forward to continuing on.
Awesome. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.